This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
He's at Termini Radio. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Today on NBA Radio on SiriusXM. By the way, we're giving away Cavs tickets coming up at 9 o'clock. Justin, how the hell are you?
Well, just let me say, based off the traffic report you just gave, I think you do a better job with the traffic than you do the sports. So you should probably maybe switch gears a little bit because you deliver that smoothly.
Nice little gag you played there, smart ass. I started out as a traffic reporter. Thank you very much.
Little did you know,
Justin. And people thought my last name was just a fake name for traffic reporting. I go, no, that's my real last name.
That's exactly. Better served. God was trying to tell you. He was trying to push you in that direction. He didn't name you a sportsman. He named you a carbon.
See, I've defied God by doing this. Some people would say talent on loan. But that was another. Anyway, Justin, first off, we've got to start, obviously, with the Cavs. Are there any problems with the Cavs that have reared their ugly head during their four-game losing streak that now won two in a row? But were there any ugly things that reared their head that we didn't know before the season about the Cavs and what problems they may have?
I don't know about before the season, but I mean, I think the direction of your two guys in the backcourt, right, and Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, you'd like to see them a little bit more efficient. I think it is concerning that, their shooting splits, especially from three, have dipped here over the last couple of weeks, if not the last couple of months, in Garland's case. And that's something where I don't think that impacts your, like, first round. Doesn't impact your second round, but once you're playing the Celtics, you're playing the Thunder, whoever comes out of the Western Conference, those guys got to be on their game. They can't be playing how they played, at least from a shooting perspective, over the last couple of months. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but again, I think it's something you're safe in the first round, second round, not once you play Boston.
I think that that's a very strong possibility. Let me ask you this, though. We've asked the pressure question to death, but I have to ask you this. Who has more pressure on them in the backcourt? From the public's perspective, from the media perspective, would it be Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell?
I think from a national perspective, it's easily Donovan Mitchell, right? Because now he's got the number one seed. He's never been conference finals. He's probably going to make, like, first team all NBA. He's probably going to get a bunch of MVP votes. So if you get that type of stuff and then you don't produce and get out of the second round, get to the NBA finals, then I think you take a little bit of heat, just as in the past a guy like Jason Tatum has prior to him breaking through and finally winning the thing.
All right, Justin, we know that numbers get a little crazy this time of year, especially in March. Now, it's been a two-month drop-off for Darius, who did play well last night, had a nice fourth quarter. But for him and Donovan, they have both struggled mightily. But then I look and it's like, hey, Josh Giddey in that same time span has some of the best point guard numbers in the entire NBA. So what do we really make of what happens here, you know, February on in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because, like, you brought up one Bull and Josh Giddey. I'll bring up another one in Kobe White. Like, he's going to win probably Player of the Month. He's won Player of the Week two consecutive weeks. Is that a guy that's going to win that award maybe in, you know, February? Is he going to win that award in, you know, December when everybody's a little bit more locked in? It's difficult because Cleveland – but I would say this. Like, it's not like Cleveland doesn't have anything to play for. Like, I think it's a massive failure here over the last week plus to lose out home court advantage in the NBA Finals if they're to meet the Thunder, because they're two young teams. You get a Game 7. Do you really want, you know, some of your young players on the road in the Game 7? And you also saw what happened during the regular season when they got blown out in Oklahoma City, but they won the game in Cleveland. So I don't think there should have been a lack of focus.
Hold on, Justin. I think that's very interesting. Because we haven't talked a lot about that. You think they should have been prioritizing number one overall seed over making sure that guys are healthy and not running guys into the ground?
No. I said that I think it is something. Like, it's not number one on the list. I think number one on the list is the health of everybody. But I think Kenny Atkinson's done a good job of not running these guys into the ground all season long. I mean, it's not like they're the Knicks where there's been a big talk about the minutes. It's not like they're the Celtics even, who played deep into June, had a bunch of guys going overseas to play in the Olympics, then had to go overseas again in the preseason, and then, you know, are playing Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum 35-plus minutes. So I don't think he has run the guys into the ground, and I think it was at least something that you want to hold on to that spot, especially as a young team that hasn't done it before. So I think that's big if you need Oklahoma City in the finals. Do you think it's not a big deal? I think it's significant.
Absolutely. I do think it's a big deal. However, in the same vein, you got to get there to begin with. And what we didn't need was a repeat of last year where Donovan Mitchell was limping into the postseason, because then you got no shot.
Yeah, and I also think, like, this is maybe a little bit of, you know, going back to the pressure thing that you just asked me. Like, I think if you win 67, 68, 69 games, you really don't have an excuse to, like, it's embarrassing if you lose in the postseason. By losing these four games recently, maybe you get to 65. You don't get, like, historically crushed for not winning, and it kind of gives people's, you know, it takes people's hopes down a little bit, their expectations, where they're going to go, oh, yeah, Boston's like the legitimate favor here. Whereas if you win 68, 69 games and then you end up losing to Boston, I think maybe you take a little bit more heat. So maybe externally, you know, it's a positive in that light. I don't know.
Justin Termini joining us, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Well, Justin, I've always kind of, as staunch of a Cavs fan as I am, I've always thought that the Celtics are going to be the favorite going into the Eastern Conference Finals. Should they meet? I think they will meet. Was there any time where that played changes with you, where maybe you thought the Cavs were the favorites?
I mean, I guess when Porzingis was out saying he didn't know what his illness was, because they're going to need him, just like Cleveland will probably need to be fully healthy in order to beat Boston. I think Boston's got to be fully healthy. And I would say that maybe that's probably the biggest development of the last, 2 weeks, is not only Porzingis coming back, but Porzingis has played really well. If Porzingis is going to play at this level, then it's going to be really difficult for not just Cleveland, but anybody to beat Boston, because he just gives, you know, he's basically, Porzingis is a short spurt all-star. Like, he doesn't make all-star teams, but if he was out there every single day, Kristaps Porzingis would probably be an all-star. I think he's the second most important Celtic and probably the third best player on that team. So I think that's a development here that may have, you know, pushed things to Boston's favor a little bit more, combined with Cleveland struggling a little bit over the last week or so.
All right, Justin, what do you make of the campaigning going on from somebody like Draymond Green and the Warriors for Defensive Player of the Year, when we thought Evan Mobley had this thing wrapped up once Wemby went down with an injury? I know you watch the entire league. You pay attention to these things. So what do you make of that race?
Well, that for some reason, I don't know what it is, and I know you guys pay attention as well, that seems to be the one award that everybody has to tell you how they deserve the award. I hear less campaigning for, like, the MVP, which is more important, or, like, all NBA teams than you do for defensive play. It seems like every 2 weeks you got Bam Adebayo saying something. Then it's Anthony Davis always complaining about how he's never won the award. Now you got Draymond Green that's campaigning. I'll give Evan Mobley credit for not being a guy that's done that. We talked to Kenny Atkinson at the All-Star game, and I asked him about this was before Wembanyama got hurt, and my question to him was, do you think it's fair that the media's already wrapped this thing up? Do you think, like, Evan Mobley should still be in the conversation? And he, like, obviously made his pitch for him, but I haven't heard a million people in Cleveland whining about it. The other guy that I wouldn't say that Evan Mobley had it wrapped up, like, prior to Draymond's comments, because the other guy that I would have on that list is Dyson Daniels, who's been fantastic and is shattering all sorts of records from a steals perspective, deflections perspective for an otherwise poor Atlanta defense. So to me, it's a two-guy race between Evan Mobley and Dyson Daniels. And then, you know, you want to talk Draymond after that, you can talk Draymond after that, but I wouldn't have Draymond in my top two.
Does J.B. Bickerstaff, ex-Cavs coach, have a shot as he's gaining ground on the lead that we thought was insurmountable from Kenny Atkinson? Does he have a shot to catch him? Or we played Carlos Boozer audio earlier today about Ime Udoka.
Well, Carlos Boozer also within the last 48 hours said that he thought Nico Harrison was doing a really good job. So I wouldn't be nervous about what Carlos Boozer is saying.
A good job at what?
You know, putting together a roster.
Taking his kids to school?
Dallas.
Like, what possibly
Easy.
Could he be doing a good job of in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's running his family the way that he is with the Mavericks, he traded his kid for a bag of chips,
But the kids, are they lazy and drinking beer? You know, that's what I want to know.
Exactly. Well, there's too many juice boxes. We got to send Jimmy to L.A. because he's drinking too many juice boxes. He's addicted to the sugar. He's going to be fat and slow, and he's going to tear the family apart. Udoka, you know, if there was like a two-year award where it was like over the course of 2 years, I would say Udoka deserves that award. Another guy that's done a really good job is Chauncey Billups, even though they're not going to make the postseason. I would go Kenny Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff as the two clear favorites at 1-2. So,
Justin Termini joining us here on the show. All right, I'm going to be the one. Do I have to ask this? You going to make me ask this?
Do I do rock,
you know
scissors,
he's good.
Paper?
Yeah, let's do rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors. Say it with me if you're going to do it. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, I'm going to be the one to ask it because I always lose. Is it better for the league if it's LeBron and the Lakers versus the Cavs in the finals instead of Oklahoma City?
Is it better if the Lakers are in the finals than Oklahoma City?
LeBron and the Lakers in the finals against the Cavs instead of Oklahoma City. LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, but the question should be, I think the interesting one is it better for the league? You know, because that's clear answer, yes. The better question is it Lakers-Celtics or is it LeBron-Cavs? Because those, you know, both are probably two dream scenarios, right? So what would the country rather see? What would they be more transfixed on? Would it be Celtics-Lakers with a historical rivalry? Plus, you know, LeBron's not necessarily, a fan favorite there in Boston. Or is it LeBron going back to face the Cavaliers? I mean, both those are, I think, can't miss for the league.
I don't want that to happen.
Which one?
The LeBron versus Cavs thing. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. So I'm a Celtic guy, all right? You know, I'm from Boston, et cetera.
You sound like it.
I would
sound like you're an extra in The Departed.
Yeah, thank you. I would root for the Cavs to get all the way to the NBA Finals if it meant that they could. Holy crap, I can't see. Crap. One second. I'm driving. If it meant that LeBron had to lose to the Cavaliers, I would love to see that.
If the Cavs lost, it would certainly cloud his. I think it would cloud a little bit of his legacy here.
People would like dislike him.
To a degree, yeah.
I don't like him anyway already.
So. I know you don't. You made that abundantly clear.
Justin, people have been asking us, so I will punt to you, a national observer of the game of hoops. Why are people pointing out that the Cavs haven't accomplished anything in the playoffs? but they seem to be ready to crown the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I mean, maybe it's because the Eastern Conference is a little bit easier, that's the only thing I can think of. But you also get these media narratives that people latch onto, and it's like, I'll ask you one. For, like, months, why is the media constantly saying, oh, well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to be the MVP because he's the best player on the best team? Meanwhile, the Cavs had a better record than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. How does that make sense?
It's like, I don't know.
No, he's the best player on the second-best team now since Oklahoma City has overtaken them. But that was like a media thing that they kept shoving down their throat. And secondly, if the winning counts for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, why shouldn't it count for Donovan Mitchell, who's running away with the Eastern Conference? And I'm not saying, like, Donovan Mitchell has to be the MVP, but it should be easy that he's, like, what, the third or fourth or fifth in the MVP voting, and definitely on an All-NBA first team, but it doesn't seem like he's solidified a first All-NBA spot. So a lot of stuff the media says.
I think you know the answer to that, though. I mean, LeBron's 40 years old. We wanted to pass the torch off to Ja Morant. Ja Morant decided to go Wyatt Earp. Then we wanted to pass the torch on to Zion. Zion has his own set of problems, obviously. And now
Zion ate the torch.
I can't say those things. You can.
Why can't you say it?
Because you know what I look like, and I'm not gonna. No, I'm not gonna talk about another man's body.
That's a good point.
Thank you very much. So anyway, I think they're trying to pass off the torch to somebody. We're looking for somebody to be the next big thing. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy that kind of fits that mold for people. It bothers a Cavs fan because you got Donovan Mitchell standing right there. Evan Mobley's too quiet right now. You can't put Evan Mobley in that mix. There's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it bothers the Celtics fan to no end as well, right? Because Tatum's clearly the best American right now, and the guy's already got a championship. He plays for the Boston Celtics. He never misses games. He's in big games every single year, and they completely skip over him, so I understand it with them being upset with the Now, Donovan Mitchell still needs to make a deep playoff run. Like, if Donovan Mitchell doesn't get, like, I remember at the beginning of the season, he said something about, like, oh, well, you got to get to the conference finals. That's no longer acceptable, right? Like, now we're past that point. You get to the conference finals, you lose. I think that needs to be viewed as a disappointment. So he still needs a deep playoff run on his resume, but so too does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's funny how that works. Like, it's like, oh, well, how can Embiid win the MVP? Hasn't made a deep playoff run. How can, you know, Jokic win the second MVP when he's never been, past the conference finals, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been to the second round, and that's it. He's been to 1 second round, and yet it's like, oh, he doesn't have to win in the postseason.
So if they make the Eastern Conference Finals, they lose to the Celtics. That's a disappointment?
I would say so. You're going to win 65-plus games. Now, can you grill them if they lose to the Celtics and say they choked? I don't think you can do that because Boston's a really good team. They're the defending champ. They're the favorite, but I think it's also a disappointment because, you want a championship at this point. And I think it's the same thing in Oklahoma City and in Boston. Like, any of those three teams don't win, I don't know if you're going to, like, absolutely grill them. But it's also a disappointment. Do you not agree with that? Wouldn't you be disappointed?
No, I would be disappointed, but I think there's a difference in disappointed and a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, you're both, personally. But,
excellent.
I would say it's a failure. I wouldn't rip them, but I would also say that it's a disappointment. It's disappointing.
Okay. Justin, thank you very much for the time.
Lyman, do you agree with me or not?
Yeah, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Well, anyway, the sun was really bad. I hope that, that's how talented I am. I was still able to give you a brilliant interview, even though I was battling the sun.
Talented people don't need to tell everybody how talented they are.
Well, tell LeBron that. He's been doing that for 20 years.
Well, you always turn it back on LeBron. Stop your LeBron hate. Stop your cheap shots about LeBron, James.
Himself.
He can't defend himself right now with you.
But listen, there's a difference between me and LeBron. I'll rip myself. He won't. So there you go.
Yeah, you're jealous of Stephen A. Smith because he got stopped on the court side and you didn't. I know how it goes. All right, thank you for the time.
All right, farewell.
See you in hell. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA Today. Wonderful guy, I guess. But just had Justin Termini on. And he mentioned the Cavs losing to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals would make them a disappointment. So if they make the Eastern Conference Finals, they lose to the Celtics. That's a disappointment?
I mean, Yeah, I would say so. You're going to win 65-plus games. Now, can you grill them if they lose to the Celtics and say they choked? I don't think you can do that because Boston's a really good team. They're the defending champ. They're the favorite, but I think it's also a disappointment because you want a championship at this point. And I think it's the same thing in Oklahoma City and Boston. Like, any of those three teams don't win, I don't know if you're going to, like, absolutely grill them, but it's also a disappointment.
And you're disappointed anytime your favorite team loses, but I wouldn't call them a disappointment. That's a semantic argument, but that's the way people are going to feel. I guarantee we'll have that argument out if they lose to Boston.
I guess it also depends how it happens. So if the Cavs are up 3-1 and blow the 3-1 lead, then I think there's going to be a lot of heat on the Cavs. Like, how did you squander this? You were the better team all year. You were the better team in the series, and you still lost. What accounts for that? How's it going to get better next year?
But if they split at home, split on the road, and then split and just lose in seven, are you a disappointment? You won a lot of games, but
no. You're still the underdog.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
So I do think that is clear, and we can sit here and argue, why are they the underdogs? They've been the better team all season. But you heard Termini talking about Porzingis and just what a difference maker he is for them. Because he is. I mean, he's somebody that you can't really defend.
Fabulous player.
You know, he's going to get where he wants on the floor, and he's going to just shoot over you. Not to mention, if he gets hot from the outside, it's like, well, what, are you supposed to come out and guard him at 28 feet? Because that's where his range is.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very difficult. So I think that we have to be careful on some of this stuff, because if I go shooting my mouth off now, I have to be careful for it later. If they go out there and they play well and they lose, yeah, Boston is a very good basketball team. They're the defending champions, for crying out loud. You will go into that game, that series, as an underdog. Now, if they don't get to that series, well, yeah, then you're a disappointment and this thing sucks and we're going to be upset about it. But if you go and if you get swept by Boston, that's one thing. If you make it a 6 or 7 game series, these are things that I'm not happy. I'm disappointed, but I have to live with. 216-474-0092. Tennessee, that number one pick, it might be up for grabs. However, a lot of people were losing their mind yesterday over Russell Wilson signing with the New York Giants. Now, it seemed to be a bit of a surprise considering Jameis Winston signed with the New York Giants.
Sorry to interrupt. You said losing your mind. Who was losing their mind?
Oh, everybody I follow. I didn't get to hear it live.
You're talking Browns fans? Losing their minds?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
I just want to be clear, because none of my buddies who are Browns fans were losing any sleep whatsoever.
Because it just seemed to be a surprise that they signed Jameis Winston and people thought that they were going to move. And then I saw all this stuff. Well, they're not interested in Shedeur Sanders now. They're not. I'm like, that. I don't think that Russell Wilson changes a damn thing on if I were going to do anything. And somebody brought up, there were plenty of people brought up the money. And I go, it's only a 1 year, $10 million contract. It can go up to $21 million, but it's a 1 year deal. I don't think that stops me from drafting anybody. I think that it's good insurance to try to put Russell Wilson out there, even though that he comes with everything he comes with. But I thought of the lot a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about. Man, maybe he was the better one of the lot. I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of faith in any of these guys. So, like, to me, they're all guys who start the season to a certain degree, and then you probably hand it off to somebody else. That included Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, if the Browns would have signed him, he changes nothing of what the Browns were going to do. If they were to bring back Jameis and bring in Russell, because I don't think that changes any of my plans to draft a quarterback at all. Like, somebody young that has some promise is going to have to come in. It may change what you want to do at number 3 if you're the Giants, or number 2 if you're the Browns. It may do that.
Well, what about dynamic-wise?
I don't think so.
We talk about trying to put young quarterbacks. If you're not going to play them right away, we think about the dynamic. Is the team, are they a total mess? Do you have a good setup? Do you have an offensive line that can protect? And then what about the relationship between starter and rookie? Like, that's always a precarious thing that gets talked about. And whether or not, we went through that with Brian Hoyer, and we've talked to Brian about it, but, you know, he was still trying to continue his NFL career, but yet you have a bunch of people that want to see the rookie. And are you a mentor to the rookie? Or are you competing with the rookie? There is a difference.
In my estimation,
is Russ somebody that it would be a good mentor for a young quarterback?
Well, you see, the mentor thing, I think that's a tricky question, because a lot of these guys will tell you that physically when they were younger, it was all there. They could put it on somebody on a dime anytime they wanted to. That's where it was. And then the game really slows down, and mentally they're all there. They see all of them. Like Tony Romo. Tony Romo, best example. He knows what's going to happen. It's just basically whether or not you can execute. But physically, he can't do it anymore. So he knows where the pass is going to go. He can't set, get to a spot quick enough, reset, let it fly. He can't do it. That's why I had to walk away from the game. But these guys, Russ Wilson, I'll throw Joe Flacco into that mix, Kirk Cousins, any of the names that we really talk about, those guys, the game has slowed down for them. Mentally. Physically, they're trying to keep up. Can they still be able to do that? Well, they're still competitive because they know if the game is slow, damn it, why can't I do this, that, and the other? Why can't I be able to do what the other guys do? So when we talk about mentors, I think that's an overrated thing. I'm not asking any of these guys to come in here and change the diapers of Shedeur Sanders or maybe Cam Ward if they're able to trade up for him.
Maybe not
or
that.
Will Howard or anybody.
What about, is it a conducive? Forget about mentor then. What about, can the guys even coexist? Or is Russ, is somebody like Russ?
You could be a
just
good teammate.
So much of a, but what have been the questions about Russ for the
there's
last time?
There's been plenty
of
questions about him. Yes, there's been plenty of questions. Jerry Jeudy publicly has said nice things. There were plenty of people on the internet yesterday. Now, this was a thing that people were trying to say out there, is that Jerry Jeudy was happy that he signed with the Giants and not with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know what Jerry Jeudy said privately. I only know what he's tweeted publicly. He seemed to be pretty supportive. He wasn't a big fan of the top brass of the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, okay? But I don't expect any of these guys to come in here and hold the hand of any of them. I expect them to be a good teammate and to handle things professionally and understand that there may be a change at some point if you can't handle it. Or it's up to you to go out there and hold the job. Hold on to the job. Like, I think that any one of these guys, and it probably makes them a little bit hesitant to come and sign with the Browns, because the Browns are definitely in the mix for a quarterback. They're definitely 100% in the mix. And it, to me, it's the same thing as the Giants. That's why it makes me question a little bit bringing in two guys, but they only had Tommy DeVito on their roster. So then I have three guys. They could always let go of Tommy DeVito. They could really always let go of Jameis. I think that was a one-year deal if they really wanted to, but I'm not sure the money. And they could bring in a rookie if they want to. If one of these guys wow them, they could go on in a different direction. But to me, it's the same thing as the Browns. Like, I don't want them to stand in the way, but I also don't want them to turn into poison either. That's not what it is. I want a good professional effort out of one of these guys. And now that Russell Wilson isn't on the board anymore, that means Joe Flacco. That might mean Ryan Tannehill, who seems to be linked to Minnesota right now. Kirk Cousins, did I already say Kirk Cousins? Did I not say Kirk Cousins? I'm not sure already. Like, we're kind of reaching the bottom of the barrel here, guys. I don't think that changes any of my plans, though. Russ doesn't change any of them.
It was just weird that they went with Russ and Jameis back-to-back.
Yes.
Like that is what threw people off, and it made people wondering, wait a second, is it that they don't think they're going to get Shedeur Sanders, or that they are down on Shedeur Sanders? They are one of the teams that have a second round grade on him and want nothing to do with him at number three overall, or even trading up to number two.
That's something they're never going to tell us.
Sure, it's just hard. It's really hard. The only way you'd know is if the Browns just don't flat out just don't take Shedeur.
Then we won't know that until the night of the draft. There's so much of this stuff that we don't know because it's not the best draft class overall, and it's certainly seems to be a two-horse race, or maybe a one, depending on what you think of Shedeur Sanders when it comes to a quarterback.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
In 40 minutes, Dion is calling the rumor mongers liars. Cheats and thieves. We have an update on a story that we had a full comprehensive investigation over yesterday, and we have more info today. That's in 40 minutes. So today's FML is one that might be familiar to some of you out there. We have been supportive of young Mitch getting a side gig of sorts in the sports broadcasting industry. Mitch, yesterday you had another tryout. Why don't you tell all the listeners about the tryout?
What you got there, Mitch?
Hold up. That's on me.
Hey.
We're busking for Mitch.
Yeah, I had an audition over at Lake County yesterday.
So,
okay. Wow. Dynamite drop.
Yeah. There's plenty of things in Lake County. You want to be a little bit more specific.
The Lake County Captain's public address announcer job is what I went for yesterday. Yes.
Okay.
Now, if you have been playing along at home, Mitch had an opportunity in Akron that we thought went really well.
And it sounded good.
We didn't hear everybody else. We only heard Mitch. Now, we did find out later there were some experienced public address announcers who were also going for this job.
Very good,
so
yes.
I thought you'd be going up against a bunch of kids out of college. And it turned out that apparently there's a big fervor for these jobs. I had no idea.
Man, in my day, they were just like, hey, you want to do it? You're in communications? I was like, yeah. And then off I went. It wasn't hard.
I do think it kind of changes, much like how you do if you're a Major League Baseball player. It kind of changes as you move up in the levels, right?
I guess so. I mean, Lord Almighty. I mean, I saw Mike Polk doing a story on it, for crying out loud. That's how big of a deal it was down there at Akron. So you went over to Lake County. This was yesterday?
Yes.
All right. Home of the Captains over at Classic Park, I think it is. Yep. Nice place. Nice place, that Classic Park. So he was over there, and we have a couple of clips of Mitch. Now, this was different. This was more like American Idol. This was not over the loudspeaker.
This is in front of what I thought was three people. It actually turned out to be about seven people with three in like seats. The Akron one was over the microphone of the ballpark, so you could hear me throughout the park. This one was just in a room.
Okay, so are we going to do
the seats turn around?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that as much.
Do we have the sponsor read for him? Here we go. Let's hear Mitch.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone.
That was good.
I cut it off there before the end.
That was good.
But it wasn't great.
Oh, God. Would you stop demeaning your own audition?
I'm trying to make sure I had everything right.
Well, here's one, and it's got one of the hottest names in the system.
Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's meet the starting lineup for your Lake County Captains. Batting first for the Captains. At second base, number 37, Travis Bazzana.
Okay, I like
that.
I like when you
good.
Get a little lower and you turn into a showman. I don't love the start of these where you're kind of in over-the-top broadcast mode. When you get really legitimately energetic, which is when you're actually paying it off with, here are the guys you're about to see. That's what I'm like, yeah, that sounds like the guy. When you were reading the ads, I don't know. Maybe I haven't done this before. I actually have never done public address
never?
Or anything. No.
Oh, it's a blast.
So I don't know what is the schooling here on how that's supposed to go, because there does have to be various levels of animation. It can't all be one note, you know, the entire time. I think that could grate on people.
Yeah, well, you got to flex it out a little bit there. But, man, last names, you got to drag out them last names a little bit. You know, there's a Bazzana. You know, throw that in there, Mitch.
I mean,
experiment with the thing. Explore the space.
I know some guys kind of like stretch out the syllables. I've never done that, but I can try. I've never had that experience before.
Can you do?
Cut yourself
this is
off in the middle of a sentence.
And this is where I would have no shot. Who was it? It was Mark Tromba back in the day?
Of course,
that
venerable
could do the Latin names.
Yeah,
and add some flair to it, some panache, Kenny. And that always got me. I still can hear him do the Carlos Baerga.
Yes.
I can't roll my R's. I could never do it. I got docked in Spanish in college for it. I couldn't do it.
I took German in high school.
Can you roll the R's, though?
Do they roll their R's a lot in
German?
No. No.
So, Mitch, can you do that? Because I think that could really
hurt some, you. I can do it on some names.
Let's
there were a lot of like, oh, gosh, there were a lot of names yesterday that I'm not even sure if I pronounced it right.
Do it in German, Mitch.
In any
say
language.
Say Travis Bazzana's name in German.
I don't even know how to speak in German.
All right, hold on. It doesn't matter. You can learn.
Good God.
So can you do Carlos Baerga and roll the R's in Baerga?
Oh, gosh. Now batting for the Cleveland Indians, number, I don't remember what it was, Carlos Baerga. I can't do it.
Nine.
I like a guy who has a lot of confidence in himself. And you just ooze confidence, Mitch.
Hey, you're putting me on the spot here, man.
Yeah, that's what we're
no
doing.
No script, nothing.
That's what radio is. Chuck in Cleveland, hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Chuck.
Man, Mitch. You know, hey, guys, let me say what's up first of all. You know, I love the show, listen every single
Thank
day.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mitch, oh, you giving me, what's that boxer, the Michael Buffer vibes?
All right.
Oh,
let's whoa, whoa, whoa. Go. Don't say it. Don't say it. Oh, Chuck, I'm going to put you on hold.
We literally will get fined.
We will get sued and fined.
There is a royalty system in place, a mechanism that he came up with, that if you even use those magic terms, you have to open up your checkbook.
Chuck wanted to do it. You were going to get us all sued. Yeah.
Did you hear?
I just lost $1 million.
I mean, seriously, you might have.
Oh my God!
So, Chuck, there is a an industry wide warning, like 4 times a year before main events. Yep. Like, don't you play it? Do not play it.
Wow. Good God!
All right, yeah, Chuck. Without doing that. You got anything there? Do you have any advice for him?
I think he sounds very good. Might be pouring on a little thick. But no, you know, he's right on path of where he's supposed to be. I just think it's
that's nice.
a little bit too much. Maybe you should lighten the voice up a little bit. Don't go so deep in the barrel. Besides that, I have nothing else to say.
Chuck, what do you think of this Mitch clip?
I know the weather's getting colder and the mic's getting hotter.
What do you think of that, Chuck?
Oh, I love that. The weather's getting colder, the mic's getting hotter.
There we go.
Wow. That's a nice punchline right there. What do you guys think about that?
I thought it was sensational, Chuck. Thank you very much for the call and the kind words. Sean in Willowick. Sean, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, doing wonderful, Sean. Go ahead.
I'd like to audition for the announcer role if I could.
Go ahead.
Please.
Now batting for the Cleveland Indians, number 9, Carlos Baerga.
I think that was pretty damn good. I feel outmatched.
Wow.
Can you work on that?
Power ranking. Sean's 1, Mitch is 2.
Yep. That's it.
How do you do that?
I do wonder, can you do baseball unless you can do the Latin names? Can you do it?
The Latin names were the ones I struggled with yesterday.
Are you serious?
Some of them. Some of them I knew from heart. Mitch. From heart. Otherwise, other ones I didn't know.
Buddy, that's...
But you got to power through them.
Especially in the minors. Like, you got to get them, buddy. I was going to just start talking to people in Lake County. Like, if you're on your way into work to Lake County, the home of the captains, not anywhere else. I mean, if you're driving into work at a law firm in Lake County, there's nothing you can do for Mitch. But if you're driving into the stadium,
give him the job.
But if he can't mention the name, he can't say the names, what is he supposed to do?
All right, quickly, go to John.
All right, here's John on the Roads. He's next up on the fan. Hello.
John.
Hello. So the ability to trill an R, like Baerga,
yes,
is a genetic component. And you either can do it or you can't do it.
There you go.
Something people can learn.
I have an excuse.
Is that okay? Let me ask you this, John.
Thanks a lot,
Stay
Gary.
With us. Is that like when the eye guy calls in, he goes, I, like there's some people they can't do it.
That I don't know, but I was also a CO major in undergraduate, and I know that trilling R's is genetic.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Be careful on the roads out there.
I have to keep it trill. So
I'm not even qualified.
Yeah.
You either can do it or you can't.
For some reason, I can't get my eyes going. Oh, you're talking about the rolling R's?
Yeah. Like, you cannot get, if you look at...
Is that cheating?
To go down to either Texas or Florida for a TV or radio job. You know, they say you got to be bilingual.
Yeah.
You know, you
Hell
be
yeah,
able to do,
yeah.
That means
do
two.
Yeah. Two languages.
Yep.
And if I ever get a radio job in Amish country...
Mm-hmm.
I got it covered, brother.
For 3 times.
You got to have 3 times the languages for 3 times the pay.
9 o'clock, Ian Eagle going to join us on the show. You guys want to trade for Cam Ward?
Possibly.
Tennessee's open for business.